Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, we're learning to come to terms with unmet expectations.
There is a huge amount of disruption happening right now in our society, and a lot of people right now are not living in the reality that they expected to live in. If you don't understand expectations, when they're unmet and it doesn't look like what you expected, it can result in disappointment or anger or disillusionment.
This is Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, have you ever had an unmet expectation? Sure, we all have, especially last year. 2020 was a year full of disruptions and uncertainty. But in today's message, Mark, you're going to help us see how those unfulfilled desires, they can really mess with our spirituality.
Yeah, Wayne, there's a famous quote that says, expectation is the mother of all frustration.
I like that, yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of people right now that are not living quite the way they expected. We've been in this season for some time, and we have hope in 2021 that things are turning around, but it's still a tough time for so many people. So if you are living right now in this season of unmet expectations, this message is going to speak loudly to your spirit.
You gave this message to the students at Moody Bible Institute, but obviously it's a message all of us need to hear. So let's get started with it today. Here's Mark Jobe.
I had the incredible privilege of standing nervously in a ceremony as I officiated the wedding of my 26-year-old son. Yeah, I told him on the way there, he was kind of finishing up his personal vows, and we were in the car, and we were getting close to the church where we were about to do this, and I heard him start to sniff. And I look over, and he's finishing up his vows, and he's getting all red-eyed and pulling a tissue out. And I said, son, if you fall apart in this wedding, I'm going to fall apart, and we are just going to start crying together. So try to hold it together, okay? And so he did so. But as I was officiating the wedding between my son Josiah and his new wife Carolina, I told him, I said, you know, you walked in here single, and you're going to walk out of this place and something dramatic will have changed. Something spiritual, something legal, something social. You walked in saying me, you'll walk out saying we. You walked in thinking mine, you're going to walk out thinking ours. There's got to be a change that happens, and you cannot expect the single life in a married relationship, and so there's a change that happens. But you've never been there before, and so you don't know quite what to expect. Every couple that I've done premarital counseling with, including my son and his fiance, they had to write out 30 expectations of what they expected marriage would be like and what they expected from their spouse, and then they share their expectations with the person that they're going to marry. That's always interesting. Because as you start hearing someone else's expectation, like, really, I'm supposed to take out the trash? Or, you know, who does the chores? Or how often are we going to go to the in-laws? And you start realizing that the expectations that you have may be very different than the expectations of the person that you're going to marry. But I always want them to look at the expectations, because I feel like it's important to understand expectations. Because if you don't understand expectations, when they're unmet and it doesn't look like what you expected, it can result in disappointment or anger or disillusionment. So I want to talk to you about expectations today. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 27 of 2 Kings chapter 5. And those of you that are joining online, I know you can't say amen out loud, but you can say amen via the chat if it hits you. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 5 that to me gives us some great insight into expectations. We live in a season where we have been disrupted in a big way. Most of us are not living right now what we expected. I didn't expect to be in chapel with speaking to a bunch of students with masks on. I can't even tell if you're smiling. Some of you students didn't expect that you would be doing some of your classes online. It's not what you expected. Kids around Chicago in the public school are studying at home, and there's mothers right now trying to do their work on computer remotely and trying to manage a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old while they work. It's not what we expected. For many people, you haven't been able to go to church because it's been online, or when you go to church, you have to sit separately. You can't hug people, can't talk to people, can't high five. It's not what we expected. Some people have been laid off and their jobs are sort of unsure and uncertain right now. It's not the way we expected it would look like at this time. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story of a man who had expectations. His name is Naaman. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier." But then it introduces us to the element of expectation, something unexpected in his life. It tells us he was a success, a military man, a commander. He had honor. He's the kind of guy that would walk down the street and there was medals clanging on his chest. People would see him. Little boys would whisper and say, "Yeah, he's the commander." People held him in high esteem, high honor. He was regarded by the king as a valiant warrior. He was a patriotic symbol. He had everything going for him: wealth, riches, honors, fame. But, you know, all of our lives get hit by the "but" once in a while. It says, "But he had leprosy." One thing in his life that he didn't expect. We don't know exactly how he discovered that he had leprosy, but I'm assuming that one day he woke up and life is good and going the way he anticipated, and he sees some discoloration in his hand and wonders what it is. Maybe it's just a rash. It keeps going. It doesn't seem to go away. He sees a physician. The physician looks at him and says, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have leprosy. And we don't really know that much about leprosy today, because in our modern day world, because for all practical purposes, it's been eliminated in the world that we live in, although there's some countries that still have people with leprosy. But it's a disease that starts with the skin, and then it starts to deteriorate. It attacks the nerves. It is a deadly virus that infects your body. And ultimately, it starts to eat away at your skin. When it progresses, fingers fall off, skins fall off. The smell of dead skin begins to plague you. People's ears and nose, they become disfigured as boils start popping up in their body, and eventually they die. But in those days, if you had leprosy, you had to let people know, because they knew that it was incurable, and you had to let people know from a distance, "I'm unclean." You had to move out. You had to live somewhere else. There were colonies of lepers, and you know well from the story hundreds of years later of Jesus, that it was still an issue during the times of Jesus. This was not what Naaman expected. And I want you to realize this. We all face seasons where our current reality does not match our expectations. It's the but in life. All of us are living through some of those. The unmet expectation. And I don't know what your unmet expectation is, but there is a huge amount of disruption happening right now in our society. And a lot of people right now, most people right now, are not living in the reality that they expected to live in 6 months ago, 7 months ago. And I want you to understand that this has been a highly disruptive season. But even without coronavirus, even without social unrest, even without the recession, even without the election that's disrupted everybody, still, life in general has its buts. Unmet expectations.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Our message comes from our series called Expectations, and we're in the book of 2 Kings. We'll get back to the message with Mark here in just a moment, but something very exciting is about to happen here in the month of January at Moody in Chicago, Mark.
Yes, on January 22nd, we are having a virtual experience Moody online, but this is a way, if you are interested in Moody, studying at the Moody Bible Institute, you are able to see the classrooms, the dorms where you possibly could be living. You'll peek into chapel. It's a great way to virtually experience Moody without having to fly here right now.
I was going to say, I can sit in my home and be taken to a glimpse at Moody Bible Institute, huh?
That's right. And the message that you'll hear today is actually being preached in the chapel in Torrey Gray. And so I think this is a great opportunity for those of you that are considering Moody Bible Institute.
Well, we have more information at our website, of course, boldstepsradio.org. It's coming up on January 22nd, the virtual experience Moody Chicago. We have such a creative staff here.
Oh.
They've done a great job of putting this together.
Oh, yeah. An incredible staff that's leveraging technology, figuring out how to help people during this COVID time manage their traveling.
Well, if you're curious about Moody Bible Institute, what a great way to experience it. January 22, the virtual experience. Go online to boldstepsradio.org for more information. Thank you for that, Mark. Let's go back to your message, though. Preached in chapel at Moody, as you said, living with expectations.
Now, I want you to understand that you, if you have not faced a major issue yet, you will face a major issue where what you envision doesn't match what you are living. And I think that we need to be prepared for that. We need to understand that. It says that Naaman, and I'm gonna summarize the story a little bit here because of my time limitation, but the scripture tells us that Naaman would go out with his men and they would raid different places. One of their enemies was Israel. And on one of the raids from Israel, they actually would bring back slaves, prisoners, and they would enslave them into their household. When on one of the raids, they happened to pick up a girl, a Jewish girl, a young girl, and brought him to his household to be a servant in his household. And it just so happens that this young girl, she believed in God, and she knew that there was a prophet in Israel named Elisha, the apprentice of Elijah, who asked for a double portion of Elijah. And she, in her simple faith, understood that there was a man of God in Israel, and nothing was impossible for God. And so she shared with Naaman's wife that, hey, if my master would only go and see Elisha. There's a man of God and there's power in our God. He could heal him. And the Bible says that Naaman responded to the simple faith of this slave girl. And he told the king about it. It tells that he went to his master. He told him what the girl of Israel had said in verse 4. By all means, go. The king of Aram replied, I'll send a letter from the king to the king of Israel. Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, 10 sets of clothing. A letter that he took to the king of Israel read, with this letter I'm sending my servant to Naaman to you so that you may cure him of leprosy. So he goes now with a new set of expectations. His life has been disrupted, and now he goes with a new set of expectation that if I bring my influence and power and wealth and go to the king of Israel, then the king of Israel will introduce me to Elisha, and maybe I will be healed. The second thing I want you to note, by the way, is that unmet expectations can give way to anger or disappointment that can drive us from our spiritual breakthrough. It tells us in verse 9 that Naaman, Elisha basically says, yeah, let him come to me, I'll see him. The king of Israel was frightened because he thought, hey, this is just a tactic to get involved in a war. Elisha said, no, bring Naaman to me. So Naaman, with his horses and chariots, he stopped at the door of Elijah's house. And the Bible says in verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. Verse 11, but Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Yeah, I want you to see this. Don't miss this. So he's going through a difficult situation in life. And he has in his mind an expectation, listen, about how God is going to work to solve his problem. And he says it. He shows up to Elisha, this iconic guy that was a farmer, by the way, in his day when Elijah the prophet anointed him. He left his farming equipment and became a prophet. And by the way, if you remember the story of Elisha, he asked from Elijah, his mentor, that he would get a double portion of his spirit. Boldly requested a double portion of his spirit. And I haven't counted the miracles, but people that have say that there's double the number of miracles recorded under Elisha than there was under Elijah. God answered his prayer and gave him a double portion. And so the Naaman shows up and he has in his mind that he's going to show up and Elijah's going to come out. I'm sure that Naaman showed up with all his regalia, horses, treasures, pomp and ceremony, letter from the king, and he thought that Elisha was going to come out and was going to say, oh, great Naaman, I'm so honored that you're here. Let me show me your leprosy. And that Naaman would show him and that he would wave his hand. It says it right there. Wave his hand and call upon the name of the Lord and that immediately he would be healed. And he had in his mind how God was going to work. But God did not work that way. In fact, it was all the opposite. Elisha doesn't even go out to meet him. Imagine the hit to his pride. You send your servant out? And the servant says, hey, by the way, I have a message from Elisha. I'm sure Naaman's like, hey, where's the man of God? I have a servant from Elijah. Elijah says, go down to the Jordan River, dip yourself 7 times, and you'll be clean. And then he walks away. Naaman is in a rage, mad, angry, walks away. Why? Because his expectation of how he thought God was going to work is not being met. In fact, he despises how God is working. He looks down at it. It didn't match his mental image. And so it tells us he became angry in verse 11. And then at the end of verse 12, it says, so he turned and went off in a rage. He walked away from God's plan because it didn't match his expectations. I'm talking to someone here today. You know, I've seen it over and over. I've seen it in my life. I could tell you story after story where I had my expectation, where I said to God, God, I think you should do it this way, and I expected that, and God did not do it the way I envisioned. In fact, let me tell you a story from when I was a student at Moody. I was probably about 19 years old. Anybody 19 here? Okay, we got a couple 19 years old. I was 19 years old, and I had just done my first Practical Christian Ministry, PCM, called, and they sent me to be a Sunday school teacher at an inner city church. And I tell you what, that class was out of control, let me tell you. I mean, these kids were, they were like, I learned very quickly, I don't think this is my calling. And after the kids were jumping on the tables, and I realized I had very little control over this classroom. And so it wasn't my best experience teaching, I think it was second graders. And so I went to the PCM department, and I said, you know, I think that part of my gifting is teaching, preaching, so I'm wondering if I could find a place where maybe I could preach or teach to adults, not children. And so I got a call a little bit later, and they said, we have a place for you. I said, great. They said, it's an old folks residential facility. So, man, I was so pumped up about doing my first message. We had a little worship team that we gathered together, and I was going to preach. And so, man, I jumped in. Every tool that Moody had taught me, I jumped in. I parceled the passage down. I got an outline. Man, I was ready. So I show up Sunday morning. I'm ready to go. I even had a tie on, I think. I'm ready to preach. The worship team is there. 10 o'clock comes. No one's there. So I turned to the lady in charge of the facility. I said, excuse me, is this supposed to start at 10? She said, yeah. I said, where is everybody? Oh, she said, young man, you got to go get them. I said, go get them? We had to disperse the team and go from room to room, wheeling our wheelchair people into the auditorium. Half people weren't listening. They were snoring, falling asleep, not engaged. I learned that there's little old ladies in a room that haven't been visited by anybody in 2 years. They didn't need a message where I parceled out the Greek. They needed me to love on them. I learned that I needed to show mercy and compassion, and that people don't care really how much you know unless they know how much you care. I learned to minister and pray for people that were extremely lonely and broken, and people that sometimes weren't all there mentally because they had dementia. I learned some of the greatest lessons in preparing for me for ministry, but it wasn't what I expected. Listen, it's what I needed, not what I expected.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Jobe. If you missed any portion of today's message, you can hear the entire program when you go to boldstepsradio.org.
The Christian life isn't one that's meant to be mediocre, passive, or even boring. Christ doesn't want us to be content or comfortable in your current situation. He wants us to strive for greatness. But what does a life of greatness look like? Is it a nicer house? Or a better car? Or a better job? Or is the great life something more? Well, that's the topic that Chip Ingram addresses in our latest Bold Step gift. The book is called Good to Great, and we would love to send you a copy today.
Discover how you can take the next step in your faith and unlock the greatness God has prepared inside you. Don't let your spiritual journey become stagnant or stale. Push beyond the status quo of Christian living to move boldly into the great and mighty plans that God has for your life today. We'll send you a copy of Good to Great by Chip Ingram to your home when you give a gift of any amount. Go to boldstepsradio.org or call 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363.
And if it's easier, send your financial gift in the mail by addressing your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, that's all the time we have today, but join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of this special President's Chapel message on expectations. Discover how our disappointments can be turned into gifts when we lay down our expectations and let God work in our lives. That's coming up Friday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.